So hope, love, joy, who we struggle with lighting the day, and peace. So again, the Advent season is a season of the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the Christian calendar. We have talked about this over the last several weeks, that the beginning of the Christian calendar, it's not the calendar that most of us goes by, but it's the beginning of when the Christian calendar activities begin. And so the 4 weeks leading up to, or the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day, Jesus Christ's birth, are the weeks that we prepare ourselves. And so the first candle we lit was of hope, as they said. The second one was of love. The third one was of joy, and it's a little different. It's pink. It stands out for joy. And then today, peace. And then tonight, as we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth, we'll light the final candle, the Christ candle, celebrating the coming of Emmanuel, God on earth. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I know about our family. We've had a lot of things going on in our life over the last several weeks. Has anybody else been a little busy or a lot of things on your plate? I'm just curious about that. Are we the only family that does that? So we've had my wife, right prior to Thanksgiving, she had a surgery on one hand for carpal tunnel, and we wanted to try to get all these things done before the end of the year, you know, because of deductibles. Anybody understand the insurance deductible part? And so we scheduled her second hand, which was more complicated than the first hand. And so she's had more pain and more struggles with that. And that was 2 weeks ago on a Friday, Jody. Is that correct? A week ago on Friday. And so then we just thought, well, we're just super people. We can do almost anything because God is with us. And so I needed a little bit of surgery, so I had a mass taken off my neck, and we did that on Wednesday of this week. And then in addition to that, I have the pleasure to announce that I now have a daughter-in-law, my first daughter-in-law. My son, Chris and Caitlin, who are here today, were married Friday. And was it Friday? I'm sort of a blur right now, but it was Friday morning, so we did that wedding. And so all of that happened, and then so with all of these things going on in our life, we still have to do shopping. Now, bless Danielle's heart, my daughter Danielle, because Jody is unable to wrap gifts like she does. I think Danielle has said she's wrapped 100 presents, maybe. She's not sure, but... And I'm thinking, every year my wife wraps them, and she never complains. But Danielle is letting us know how many she did, and she's also letting us know how many she's had to rewrap because her little one-year-old or one-and-a-half-year-old son decides to try to open them early. You understand? So there's some that's been wrapped a couple of times. So, but my point is, we went to try to do some last-minute shopping. Do you understand what I'm saying? Last-minute shopping here in Statesboro. And I'm thinking, all the college kids are going home for Christmas, right? They're all out of here. And everybody else is probably traveling, because you can tell by our congregation, between the two congregations, we're half the size that we normally are. So it's like, everybody's gone. It'll be easy peasy to go into Walmart and into Belk's and go get some things in. People, I'm going to tell you something. Now, are you familiar with the Walmart the Belk's parking lot? Is everybody familiar with that? The Belk's parking lot. I could not find a parking place in Belk's, Starbucks, the gas station in front of Belk's, the Bilo down below Belk's. I had to park at the end of Walmart where they put the fireworks and walk to Belk's to go shopping. And then when I got in there, I believe everybody in Bullock County had decided to go to Belk's at the same time that we did. And I'm like, it's I'm not sure stressful is the word. I'm just overwhelmed. Has anybody been overwhelmed? I wasn't stressed. It was just like, where do these people come from? Don't they have something to do or somewhere to be? Don't they understand what my plans are? Jody and I are supposed to come here, go to Walmart, get these four or five things, leave here, go to this place. We have plans. I mean, obviously, they did not look at my itinerary to see what the Atkinson family was going to do, or they would have got out of our way. But, well, by the way, you know how that is. None of them got out of the way. And I'm just going to say this, and I love our town. I love... How many of you have ever watched the show Bush People on TV? Or it's like the Alaska. They live out in the woods. I believe some of them people come down here and went to Walmart and to Belk's that day, because they look like they come straight out of the bush, let me tell you. But that's okay, because they were getting Christmas gifts and everything. But my point that I'm making is sometimes things don't go as we plan. Things don't line up like we plan or like we expect. And then what do we do in the midst of that chaos? What do we do in that time when it's just not that orderly or that structured? You know, that there's times that for me, the word peace, sometimes, and grandparents, you would understand this, parents, you understand that, sometimes I associate peace with one other word, quiet. I just want some peace and quiet. But then sometimes quiet makes me nervous. I'm ADD and I like to be doing stuff, so quiet means something's about to happen. Do you understand? I'm like, the other shoe's going to drop. So for me, peace. What's it like to have peace? Let me read you this story here in the scriptures that's coming from Luke. And it's a scripture we'll read again tonight, but I want to read it to you and sort of emphasize a couple things. It comes from Luke chapter 2. It says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." Now, I have read, and many of you are doing the devotional that we've done recently, the reset that we gave out to the congregation. And on one of the days, it was talking about, the author was talking about, and it was actually on the devotional that we do online, but the author was talking about how we sort of might have this, the inn was full mistake. You remember the story about the inn was full and they had nowhere to put Jesus, so they put him out in the garage, or put the baby and them out in the garage, right? But here's the thing. Why was Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem to begin with? What did I just read to you? Is anybody, a census, right? They were going to be counted. The governor or whoever it was decided, I need to count all the men folk that I have in my area. I need to count and know how to tax people. I need to do a census to know how to tax people, to get equally amounts from the various people. And so you had to go back to your hometown or your town of origin to go, right? So Mary and Joseph went to what town? Tell me again, what town was it? Bethlehem, right? So here's my question. Where did Joseph's daddy go? Where did Joseph's uncle and his grandpa and where did the rest of Joseph's family, who were from the lineage of David, in fact, Mary's family? Mary was a descendant of David as well, so both sides of their ancestral tree both came from the line of David. So here's the question. Where did them people go to register to be able to be counted? Where? Bethlehem. See, we have this image of Mary and Joseph riding on a donkey by themselves going to Bethlehem to go and be counted, right? The truth is, they probably have a huge herd of their family folks. Everybody from Joseph's side, from her side, were all coming to Bethlehem because they had to be counted too. And it's probably not that many Quality Inns, motels, hotels, you know, Holiday Inn. There are not that many in that area. So where would you go to stay if you come into town? You'd go stay with your kinfolk. Well, what happens when all your kinfolk show up? Now you know what it looks like in some people's homes at Christmas time. And everybody's coming over, and everybody's spending the night, and everybody's there, and it's just like there's one bathroom and 26 people. There's people laying on mattresses, on air mattresses. They're sleeping on couches. Does anybody have that type of... So how is it in that house? It's so pleasant. Everybody is so nice and calm, and everybody shares. And no, it's just like tension and things like that. I'm sort of thinking now, Mary and Joseph are probably glad they were out in the stable because it was probably chaos in the inside of the house. Maybe Mary went out to the stable because there was no, didn't remember it said no guest room, because the guest rooms were probably all filled up with other family who were more senior, who were the elders of the family. And maybe they went out there because as that baby was born and a screaming mama, pain and the struggles and the men folk don't want any of that. Maybe they went out to the stable to keep as much calm in the house as they could while this baby was born. Now keep in mind that there's this period of time that Mary and Joseph weren't married. They were engaged to be married. And so now they're around their family and they're pregnant out of wedlock. And now you're wondering what their family is saying, what's Joseph's family saying, and what's her family saying, and how they all get together going, your son did this to my daughter, and your daughter did this. Can you imagine what that would be like? And Mary and Joseph probably planned none of that. In fact, I know they didn't plan anything. They just planned to be married. They just got engaged. We just want to be husband and wife one day. After a year of engagement, we'll be married one day. Babies were probably way out in the future. Let's get married, Joseph. Let's establish ourselves. Let's just get our household functioning, and then we'll have children, Joseph. And then we'll be able to have the 2.5 kids and the little dog and the little cat. And if you're a cat person, that's okay, but we're not. But anyway, but you could have that. But that's not what happened. Because now the Holy Spirit comes to Mary and tells her she's going to have a child. Joseph's thinking about divorcing her. He could think about having her stoned to death, but it says that he contemplates this and thinks about it, and he struggles with it, but he decides to divorce her quietly. See, if he'd have divorced her out loud or not quietly or not under the radar, if he'd have divorced her like that, then she'd had to move back home for daddy with that child and could have never been married again. Unless somebody, there would have been no dowry. Because remember, in those days and times, they were passing a dowry. So Joseph's family paid a dowry for Mary to be his wife. And so there would never be another dowry. There'd never be this. And she would be a tainted woman. And so Joseph doesn't do that. And so they begin to have this love in the midst of this chaos. That's you know what? I'll share this shame with you. If there's shame associated with you and this birth of this child, I'll share it with you. The angel spoke to Joseph. The angel spoke to Mary. And so they do this. And then so they're getting their mind wrapped around this. So we're going to figure out what so the plan's adjusted from the wedding plan to now we're pregnant to now this crazy governor of ours wants us to go be registered. Now we got to load up, pack up, miss work. Remember, you can't work when you're traveling if you're a carpenter. That's Joseph's livelihood, right? So he's traveling for several weeks and months to go have this child and has no income. And yet they have to do what the rules say and what the government. And so they go and they travel to this town and they come to Bethlehem and they get there and then there are all their other family people are there and all of them there. Oh, Mary, see, you're pregnant. Ah, we just heard y'all were engaged. Yeah, we know what y'all been doing. No, there's a Holy Spirit thing. Oh, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, you're right. And so they're in that midst of that. And they know what they've been told. They know what they feel in their heart. And they know what God has revealed to them. But they have to be around that chaos of everyone else. And here they are. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. I know that she was thinking to herself, you know, I've got my little bedroom already ready for the baby. Joseph's got the room ready, but it's in Nazareth, and I'm in Bethlehem. I already got my pediatrician. I've already got my OBGYN, my gynecologist. I'm good to go. I'm ready to go. And now I come to Bethlehem. I don't know these people. Who are these people that help birth babies? What am I going to do? And Joseph is looking at her going, I don't know. This is my first child too. It's chaos. And it sounds a little bit different than just no room in the inn, doesn't it? It's anything but a peaceful situation. Anything but a peaceful and quiet situation. And it didn't just extend to this chaotic stuff happening there. While this is happening over here in this area, just a few miles away in the fields where the shepherds were, listen to what happened there. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, which is what they should be doing. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. Big angel shows up and starts communicating with them. And it's not these big, white, fluffy angels. It's an angel of God. An angel of God that was willing to fight if Jesus ever called them to. In fact, Jesus says, if I call them down, there'll be a legion of my Father's armies, of my angels. And so these warriors come and start sharing this information with these shepherds. And they're terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. It's not he might be. It might not be. It's not he could be. This is the one everyone has been waiting for. This is the salvation of the world. This will be a sign to you. We'll find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. This is anything but a peaceful situation. These shepherds who've gotten ready for bed, who've done their work all day long, they don't know it's Christmas Eve. To them, it's Wednesday or Thursday. It's a regular day. They have things to do the next day. They have places. They got bills to pay. They have everything to do. There is no vacation days associated with Christmas. It is a regular day. And what do? They talk to one another. And they say, let's go see this. This is worth our attention. This is worth us taking time out of the craziness of our normal life and going to see this thing that these angels have told us. And see, sometimes it's hard to get people to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day because of all the things that are going on and all the activities that have to come later on, because this is more of an inconvenience to many than a part of the story. And so we struggle with that. We struggle about where we should be. Well, our traditions are that we do this. And, well, I'm sure the shepherds had traditions. I'm sure that Mary and Joseph had traditions. But they put all of those things aside in the chaos of the world. They accepted the chaos and leaned into it and lived through it. See, when we talk about this, both of these are anything but peaceful situations. And then, in the midst of this, way over here with these shepherds, more angels show up. It says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel. There's a bunch of them praising God and saying, in the midst of this chaotic time, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rest. Some people say it's glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Say that with me. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. This is what they're singing. They're saying and shouting and singing and praising. The ground is shaking. People miles away don't understand why the ground's shaking. Is it an earthquake? It's the angel saying, peace on earth. Where? Where? Mary and Joseph are looking for peace. The shepherds are now disrupted and they're looking for peace, and they all come together at this place in Bethlehem because they all took the time to step outside of their normal life and their routines and the disruptions in that life and look for Jesus. The shepherds came and looked for Jesus. They trust the words of the angel. Mary and Joseph trust the words of the angel. See, peace, like I say, is we associate it with peace and quiet. But here's another one I've heard before. When we have decisions to make, have you ever made a decision? Have you ever said this? I have a peace about that. I have a peace about leaving this job. Or I have a peace about what of this decision I made. I have a peace about this situation. Anybody ever heard that phrase before? I have a peace. I feel,
And see, sometimes we associate peace with this feeling of calmness, this feeling of, I've done a good decision. But I don't know that's the peace that they're talking about here. See, if you take peace and try to understand it, maybe we need to look at what's the opposite of peace. So I went up and I looked on the internet and I looked, you know, because that dictionary.com, you can find everything on it. And I looked up, here are the antonyms, the opposite of peace. War, agony, distress, unrest, rage, agitation, worry, violence, anxiety, frightening, discord, restlessness, disturbance, chaos, difficulty, unease, and even hate. See, I saw some of that in Walmart the other day. I saw some of that in Belk's. I've seen that in my own family recently. I've seen that in other people's family. I've seen a lot of this stuff at a time that there's supposed to be this peace. Where's this peace if Jesus has come? Where's peace on earth? The peace that's referred to in the scriptures is a supernatural peace that the angels are talking about. This means that in extreme circumstances and extreme difficulties, it takes an extreme conviction, if you will, and sometimes an extreme encouragement. It's not about feeling good. It's not about not being conflicted over a decision that you made. It's about that jaw-dropping security and the firm conviction that in the face of absolutely overwhelming odds and opposition, where it makes no sense to accept what's going on, makes no sense that you can do with this or handle this, that you do. And the world looks at you and go, how do you do that? How did you get through that? How did you make it through those times and in those situations that many of us would have folded up and said, I can't do it? And it comes from the peace that these angels are speaking about. Peace on earth. See, it's a byproduct of our relationship with God. It's a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, the Greek word for peace used here is eirene. And it translates throughout the scriptures as a sense of security, a sense of safety, a sense of harmony. And those are things that we find through Jesus Christ, especially when we accept Him as our Savior. We find those things and we can't even explain it sometimes how we can do what we do. We don't understand how a thought can come in our head sometimes about praying for somebody else in the midst of our things that are going on. That we put ourselves to the side and we look to help someone else. And we have a peace about that. But your bills won't get paid. Your stuff won't get done. Your things, and it's okay. This is what I'm supposed to do. Or better still, this is who I am. I'm an instrument of peace. Here's some important things that we need to know about this word peace. God is the one that's providing this special peace. God is the one who is giving us this opportunity for peace. It's not something we manufacture. It's not something we create. It's not something you can work harder for or do or make it happen. I'm going to bring peace in this household. I'm going to bring peace in this situation. It's not anything that you can do. It's a gift of God that comes and is related to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our connection with Jesus, this little baby, is critical for us experiencing peace. In fact, Jesus, when he grows up and he becomes a man, he starts to teach his disciples and in terms teaching us. And he said this to them one time. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. A little bit later, he said, I have told you these things. He was telling about what was going to happen in the future. He said, I've told you these things so you may have peace in this world. Because he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And what he's saying is, I've been there. And I've done that. And you can do it too. It's your relationship with me. And what he's saying is, my relationship. Jesus is saying, my relationship with my Father in heaven got me through this. Therefore, your relationship with me will help you get through this. It will bring a sense of peace and a sense of calmness in a situation that is chaotic. And isn't that what we're looking for? Yeah, I would have liked to have found a parking place at Belk's and been right there and been, you know, like right front row, right there for me. But I got over it. I would have liked not to had to wait in so many lines and do so many things. And as frustrated I was, as hot as Belts was, as much as my feet hurt, I tried not to bring more distractions and anger to the world. There's enough of that already. I just tried to bring peace. And my wife, and we were sitting there, and we sort of get to bickering. We're trying to help each other, and just we're trying to, it's hard, and we just try to just, we talk about it. That's just what we should do. We just figure it out from various situations. That's just what you do. And that stems from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not as a baby Jesus, but as your Savior. As the Messiah. As the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. Paul was talking one time and he said, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As you develop this relationship with Jesus, as you lean into it, as you invest your time and your energy into learning and growing and obeying and following Jesus, you begin to have a guarded heart because of this peace. And it'll guard your mind and your thoughts. So what's the other thing we're supposed to do? Is exactly what the angels did. Is rejoice. Rejoice. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. You see, what I'm beginning to realize now is that God brought peace to the earth through Jesus, and Jesus now brings peace to the earth through us. Faith, hope, love, joy, and peace is what he brings to us. And that's what this is about. And that's the peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray as the musicians come forward. Father God, we just pray that you would allow this message to penetrate our heart and bring us some sense of calmness, some sense of peace, but more than that, a confidence in what you have done. You have given us this Savior. We don't deserve it. We can't do anything to get it ourselves. All we do is just accept the gift. We have nothing to give back in exchange for this. We're not little drummer boys to go play. All we can give you is our life. So Father God, let it begin at this moment when we leave this place. That Lord, we give out hope. Not just give it out, that we are the hope of the world through Jesus Christ. That we are the love of the world through Jesus Christ. We are the joy of Jesus Christ. And we are the peace of Christ that abides in us and may abide in the world. This is our prayer and we ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.